Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, Donnie, Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry are ruining fantasy football owners all over the league, all over the world, all over the universe, including me. I have Derrick Henry. What happened to him?
I actually just traded Derrick Henry in a dynasty league that my college roommate and I have run for like 5 years.
What happened to Saquon?
We're co-managers.
Yeah, that was a good move, I think.
And Saquon hot out of the gate last night. I think he had like 30 yards on two carries. It looked like, okay, here's like this is going to be the big game for Saquon to get him out of the gate in 2025. Then they fell behind, and that was it. That's the other problem.
All downhill from there.
That's the other problem with Derrick Henry. If you notice in games where the Ravens fall behind, since he doesn't provide a whole lot in the pass game, they just don't play him.
I'll tell you who does provide a whole lot. Ray Fittipaldi. This is his music. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You know Ray's stuff from the Post-Gazette. It's also a Donnie Football Friday with Greensburg's very own Donnie Football sitting across from me, brought to you by Smale Kia, Route 30 in Greensburg. All right, Ray, you saw the game last night. Our colleague Jerry Dulac reported way back when that the Steelers had a first round grade on Jackson Dart. Are you coming around, Ray? Do you wish they had taken Dart?
Well, he looks pretty good. Last week, he fumbled without being touched, and I think everyone was down on him, but 4 days later, he's back on top. I mean, that's what you get in New York when you play in that market. Listen, I think he can be a good quarterback in the right system. We'll see if Dable can continue to get the most out of him. But, so far, so good.
Ray, do you think he would have looked like that here?
Impossible to say. It is a different offense, and, you know, Arthur Smith has a particular way of doing things. I'm not saying it's not quarterback-friendly, but, Dable has sort of been known for developing quarterbacks over the years. Say whatever you want about Daniel Jones, but, you know, he was better in his previous stops. I don't know that it would turn out here, but he looks like he's got a lot of confidence. He plays with a little bit of swagger, too. So he does look like he has some of those intangibles.
All right, Ray. And Ray Fittipaldi, brought to you by LGKG, the born and raised Western Pennsylvania injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases personally. Seems to be split here. I don't know how it is at the Post-Gazette in terms of whether it be a close game or a blowout, that the Steelers are absolutely going to win here, but will they struggle like all three of us believe, or will they blow it out like Harry Callis and Doran Dickerson said on the morning show? Are you going to be the first one to pick the Browns, or how do you think this game goes?
No, Joe, I'm going to pick the Steelers, but I think it's going to be a close game. If you watch the Browns this year, even that Detroit game where it got away from them late in the second half, I mean, that game was, I think, a three-point game at halftime.
Yeah.
They don't give up a lot of points. They don't give up a lot of yards. You know, it's not like the Steelers are some kind of offensive juggernaut. You know, if the Steelers play their game, they don't turn the ball over, yeah, I think they're going to win. But Browns give up like 247 yards per game. I think there's only one other team in the NFL that does better with the yards allowed. So, I think it's going to be low scoring. I think it's going to be close. You just go down the scores every week in the NFL. There's just not a lot of blowouts. I mean, the Steelers had a chance to do it to the Vikings, and look what happened there. So those blowouts are few and far between now. The norm is closer games.
Ray, the Browns have the best defense against the run so far this season in terms of yards per attempt. How much of the jumbo package are we bound to see on Sunday afternoon?
I think you're going to see it again, Donnie. And the Browns are a 4-3 team. They got some bigger guys on the end. So that's the way Mike Tomlin and his staff like to approach run blocking, against those fronts. So I don't know that we'll see it to the extent, where Darnell Washington plays, like 95% of the snaps. I think Spencer Anderson was up around 20 more than both Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth. I don't know if we're going to see that again because of the situation with Calvin Austin. I do think you're going to see more of Jonnu and Pat. But, yeah, when they have their run demeanor and they want to run the football, you're going to see Darnell Washington out there a lot.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net, and you can get in touch with our dear friend City Limits on the Fan text line. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Limits, the mere notion of excluding you from this conversation has Ray Fittipaldo on the verge of a tear-filled breakdown.
Joe, this is why I love you dearly. All right, Ray, it's Myles Garrett against Broderick Jones. How do you see it playing out?
I see Darnell Washington. I see Kenneth Gainwell. I see Jalen Warren. I see Isaac Seumalo. You get the drift. They're going to help him out as much as possible. I saw something on social media this week. I think it was from Pro Football Focus. 66 or 67% of the time, Myles Garrett is double teamed. Now, you're going to have a few reps here and there, mostly when it's like three-step drops, get the ball out quick where Jones is going to have to block him by himself. That happens, five, six, seven, eight times a game. But when they want to do any kind of five or seven-step drop, anything that's going to take a little bit of time, they're gonna have help there. And it's not just the Steelers. Every team does that for Myles Garrett. You see teams do that for T.J. Watt. I think it was it maybe the Seahawks game? Where three defenders just flew towards T.J. Watt and Jack Sawyer came in untouched for a sack. I mean, you see that with the Steelers, you see it with the Browns, and these elite edge rushers, especially these guys who are paid $40 million a year, they command extra attention.
Speaking of edge rushers, Ray, the Steelers have run into what I think is a pretty good problem to have, because they seem to have three pretty good ones, if not better than that. Alex Highsmith is supposed to be back on Sunday, and I think one of the big questions is, what will that breakdown look like between Watt, Herbig, and Highsmith?
Yeah, I think with Alex coming back from the injury, I think I think Herbig's going to play quite a bit. Now, I don't know who's going to start, but by the end of the game, I would not be surprised at all if it's more of a 50-50 split with Herbig and Highsmith in terms of the snaps. And, Highsmith told us on Monday, and he still hasn't practiced full yet. I think he's practicing. He's supposed to be a full participant today if everything goes well. But, that high ankle injury is a tough one. It was lingering on Monday when we talked to him. So I just get the idea they're going to give him a chance to come back and see how he feels. But if it doesn't feel right, I think you're going to see a lot more of Nick Herbig. I think you're going to see him anyway. He's earned the right to be out there. And, TJ's obviously going to play. But, Nick Herbig and Alex Highsmith, I'm guessing by game's end it's going to be 50-50.
All right, Ray, I'll ask the obligatory Pat Freiermuth question. Mike Tomlin casually dropping in, oh, yeah, who would ever expect Freiermuth to play against 4-3 teams? What? Like, why did they draft him, and why are they paying him if that's the case? Where is he, Ray?
Yeah.
Where is he?
Yeah, I mean, he's a willing blocker, Joe, but that's not his strength. And with the way the Steelers get the ball out, I wrote about this earlier in the week. Aaron Rodgers gets the ball out in 2.52 seconds. That's the quickest in the NFL. So they are helping out their offensive line, and Aaron is just getting the ball out quick. And That's good news when you get it in the hands of DK Metcalf early, but usually guys like Pat Freiermuth, you know, if you want to do anything down the field, and that's the guy he is, right? Johnny Smith is the guy you're going to throw to near the line of scrimmage. Anything that has to develop down the field with a guy like Freiermuth is going to take a little bit longer, and, you know, he just hasn't produced. So I don't put it all on Aaron. Excuse me, I don't put it all on Pat. I think, you know, the game plan, obviously jumbo packages factor into things. Aaron, who he chooses to throw to, factors in. But you're right about one thing. I mean, they're paying this guy a lot of money. I think on average, $12 million a season. And for him to only play 15 snaps, and really over the big picture, for him to only produce the numbers he's produced in the first four games of the season, that has to be concerning for the Steelers front office. Now, they're winning games. It's not going to be a big topic inside that building right now. But listen, if things go sour, yeah, they're going to be talking to the coaches wondering what's going on.
Ray, when it comes to the running backs on Sunday, I know that a lot of you that are watching practice every single day seem pretty confident that Jalen Warren will step right back in and get the bulk of the carries. Why not more of a 50-50 split between Warren and Gainwell?
You know, if you look at the game before the Vikings, it was the Patriots. That was a Jalen Warren game. Gainwell played, I think he only got four or five touches. And I just think they like riding the hot hand. Now, it worked out that, you know, Gainwell was hot. They didn't have to go to Caleb Johnson all that much. But, you know, it was a good game plan. And, you know, they stuck with the guy who was churning out the yardage. Now, you know, Warren, if that knee is healthy, yeah, he's gonna start. And if he's going well, he's going to continue to play. But you know Gainwell's going to be in on third downs, and you know every third or fourth series he's going to get in there too. So, you know, tough spot for fantasy owners, but I'm telling you what, Arthur Smith loves that combination. That Jalen Warren-Kenneth Gainwell combo has done really well so far when they've had the blocking, and we'll see if they can continue it against the Browns. As you guys mentioned, it's a tough front to run against, but I think they're going to try to. I think it's going to be a big part of the game plan this week.
If Calvin Austin misses the next two games, Ray, is this the last opportunity that Roman Wilson has to make a name for himself?
No, not the last one. You know, people don't want to hear this, but he missed his entire rookie season. So in a lot of ways, this is his rookie season. So he's not in the same boat as Caleb Johnson, but it's more similar than people want to realize. So, Aaron Rodgers likes his veterans. He's got Scotty Miller. He trusts him. He's got Ben Skowronek. He trusts him. And it's not that there's not a trust factor between Aaron and Roman, but I just feel like he's a little bit more comfortable with the veterans because he knows they're going to be in the right place at the right time. That's a huge thing for Aaron. And I think Roman is still learning the NFL game. He's still learning this offense, and he's still learning where Aaron wants him to be. So I think he's going to play more snaps. He only has one catch for 7 yards. He's probably going to get a few more targets as well, but I don't think we're going to see a breakout game or, you know, even more snaps than a guy like Scotty Miller this week. I think Roman Wilson's in a position where he has to earn people's trust before he can have a bigger role.
Ray, would there be any consideration to put him on some sort of special teams to, you know, maybe get some sort of jolt in the game? I mean, they love doing that with running backs, and we know how that turned out for Caleb Johnson. Like, why not find some way to get Roman Wilson involved elsewhere?
Yeah, well, Scotty Miller is going to return punts in place of Austin. He's done that before. You could see Roman Wilson back there, you know, if things don't go well, but I don't think Roman Wilson's a guy you'll see on kickoff returns. So, you know, there are ways to maybe infuse him into the game. They probably got some special plays or packages where they think he might be a good matchup, you know, for some teams. So I would look for it more on offense right now than special teams. But yeah, certainly if Scotty doesn't do well with the punt returns, I think Roman would be the next guy up there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They going to scour any teams for receivers if they keep winning and other teams keep losing?
Yeah, well, that's part of it, right? Teams might be looking to sell here. I mean, you've seen what's going on with the Browns here the last couple of days. It's going to be interesting. I do think they want to see how these guys do. You know, if Scotty and Skowronek and Roman Wilson, if they can contribute to a winning effort, and you know, they go out there and make some plays, then yeah, I think they'll be happy to stick with what they got. But listen, the trade deadline is a month away. We all know Omar Khan hasn't been shy about doing deals since he took over. So I'm sure he's looking for ways to improve this football team. But I also know he doesn't want to trade away a lot of draft picks either. So if they do anything, I think you'd probably see it for maybe a mid to low round pick or maybe a player for player type situation. I still think, even though Aaron Rodgers is doing great, I still think they've got their eye on a quarterback next spring.
Donnie, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
You may.
Ray, you ready?
I'm ready, Joe.
Is Chris Boswell the greatest kicker in NFL history?
No, but he might be in the top 10.
Who is? Top 10? That's all you're giving him? Who's the greatest kicker?
Vinatieri was pretty good. I mean, you almost have to separate it by eras now because of the kicking balls and everything that's new now, but yeah, maybe I'll go top 5, Joe.
Thank you. Do you miss Gunner?
I do not miss Gunner, no.
Mount Washington, over under 0.5 touchdown catches this week.
Oh, he's due. I'll go over.
Pat Freiermuth, over under 2.5 catches.
I'm going to go under just because I think they're going to do jumbo again.
Watt, Garrett, more sacks.
Steelers are at home. I'll go Watt.
Broderick Jones, over under 6.5 sacks allowed.
Under.
Rodgers needs 351 yards to pass Ben on the NFL all-time yardage list, so I'll go over under 350.5.
Under.
Steelers will sweep the Browns and Bengals.
No.
Who do they lose to?
I think they'll lose to one of those teams on the road, probably the Browns.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant the next two games here in 5 days.
Oh, you meant my bad. Yes, they will sweep these next two games.
Who's the NFL MVP right now, Ray? Other than Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I mean
Cam Scataboo.
I'm gonna go with Josh Allen still. I know they lost, but I'm gonna go Allen.
Best team in the AFC right now is who?
Bills.
Steelers will trade for a different position other than receiver at the deadline, Ray.
No, they won't.
Steelers will win a playoff game.
I think I said they would before the season, so I'm going to stick to my guns.
Somebody else said something before the season. His name is Bob Pompiani, who had this to say.
All right, if Aaron Rodgers, again, so many things involved there. If he's healthy, whatever. If he's there healthy, I'll say yes, they'll win one playoff game, maybe two. If he's healthy and they're going on, in fact, I'll say that. They're going to win two playoff games.
To the AFC title game, Ray?
Boy, Bob's out on a limb there. I am not going to go to the AFC title game, but I like his optimism.
And lastly, Post-Gazette reporting that 22,000 Acrisure Stadium seats and nearly all of them are now going to be gone pretty soon here, and nearly all of them by 2028. Ray, will the new seats be that, some would say, hideous form of yellow, or will they be sort of a different shade of yellow or gold, or what have you heard about this?
You know, like the mustard yellow look on TV.
I'm not big on it. Donnie, how do you feel about that? Do you those?
I think it's tough because it makes it very, very obvious when there aren't people in them.
Yeah.
I mean, we know how much that hurts Pitt. I mean, but even in Steeler games, too, you can very easily see
we should bring the Pompiani cardboard cutout to Pitt games.
I would just go with, like, the color that the Pirates use. What is it, like a navy blue?
Yeah, why not navy blue, Ray?
Well, that's not their colors.
Yeah, Donnie, I mean, the Pirates. That's not their colors.
The Pirates' colors aren't navy blue.
Remember Old Three Rivers? You had the red, you had the brown in the outfield.
Yeah.
You had orange. Yeah, they should just do like multicolor. Bring back the Three Rivers look.
I mean, I sit up with the poor people in the bleachers, so I mean, mine are always going to be the same.
Where can I buy those seats at, Ray, if I want to for my basement?
Good question.
They're probably still on eBay somewhere.
I don't know. Do we really need to do this? Is this our money paying for this? Who's paying for this? I don't care. I don't want my tax money going to this. Do you?
No, obviously not. I mean, did I read, and I didn't read the story completely, but wasn't there something like about an $800 million renovation?
I don't know. I don't care.
Or something?
Yes.
Yeah. So if that's the case, if you're going to do a almost $1 billion renovation, why don't you just build a new stadium?
Where are they going to put that, Donnie?
They're going to put it on floating on the river.
No, they'll put it on Pitt's campus. Donnie, Pitt should have an on-campus stadium, shouldn't they? While we're on the topic,
yeah,
and you're Donnie football.
I've always felt that way.
And you can make room wherever you want these days, can't you? They could find a space for a stadium, right?
Where do you think they would put a new one? I mean, they put up a parking garage every 50 feet.
Yeah. Take down some of the parking garages.
Take down some of the houses there that go over aren't to really 50, used.
Just rip people's houses down?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think there are maybe some properties over there that, like, aren't, you know, used.
Ray, there's got to be room in Oakland. I'm tired of hearing that excuse. Yeah, like Limit said, just start knocking everything down. Let's see a football stadium.
They built a baseball stadium a couple of years ago. How hard could it be to build a football stadium?
They just put Victory Heights next to the old Pitt Stadium.
Right. They're building it. Yes. Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ray.
Nice man, isn't he, Donnie?
I love Ray.
I honestly do. It would be so great to have an on-campus stadium at about 40,000 people where it was loud, you know, like Nippert Stadium.
Yeah, like
in Cincy.
I've never thought, like, it doesn't have to be this massive venue where there's
no
60-plus thousand seats. Like,
that's
why.
See, now you're talking. They could get really creative with how they built it.
Like, make it more quaint, you know, make it. Because, I mean, actually, what I love that's eventually happening here, I don't know when they said the project will be done, but, like, they're redoing Highmark Stadium where the Riverhounds play.
Right.
I think that should be, like, the future venue for a lot of, like, big-time high school football games.
Yes.
I think it'll overtake concerts that otherwise would go all the way out to Star Lake.
Yeah. Where there's a will, there's a way. Build the stadium straight up where the seats are vertical. So you're sitting on top of people.
Didn't they do that in, is it one of the L.A. arenas?
I don't know.
Where the seats are,
yes,
like
somehow
very
get creative. He's right. They built softball. They built baseball. They're building an entirely new facility. I think they just put the volleyball floor down the other day on this gigantic new facility they're building right in the middle of campus. Find a way to build a football stadium, Donnie.
I'm for it. I'm all for it.
Does Schenley Park have room over there?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of land over there.
There is a lot of land over there.
I don't think they're going to tear up the park, though.
I don't know. I don't know how those things work.
Only half the park limits. You still keep half the park.
You're going to really make environmentalists mad.
You're talking about ruining people's houses.
Buy them out.
Buy them out.
Save our parks. Save the trees, Donnie. Save the trees.
This isn't
Ryan
Graves. Get out of your house. We're saving the trees.
You can't just buy people out like Ryan Graves here. I don't think you can.
I think you can, yeah.
Donnie, you can still save a lot of trees at Schenley Park, can't you?
Yeah, there's plenty there, I think.
Did you ever see that video?
They'll have extras.
Or like pictures of the one guy in the big plant of just open, like, I don't even know, 35 acres of land where a whole development team will buy out the people who previously had homes there to build new homes. And there's like one person decided not to sell their home and they built around it.
Yeah.
They could do that with Pitt Stadium.
They sure could. They need that. I'm sorry. They need that, Donnie. Pitt needs an on-campus stadium. I don't even know why I'm talking about it, but the topic came
up.
We
brought up the Acrisure renovations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ray thinks they have to be the team colors. You're right. Now that I think about it, do sports teams always have team colors on their seats?
I mean, the Pirates are navy blue. They're like that is what the color of their seats are, and I think that's actually good because when it's bright yellow, it is very easy to see that nobody is in them. Like one
right.
one aerial shot and you just see
that's right.
Bright yellow.
All right, coming up next, the universally, intergalactically acclaimed numbers game. I have an incredible, incredible number here related to Steelers-Browns history. And Donnie, I know you're coming prepared for this as well. We'll do the numbers game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 6 matchup between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Oh, limits, 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 limits. All right. Donnie, what about that error that ended the Phillies-Dodgers series? Isn't that every athlete's nightmare from Little League on up? The pitcher, now I'm forgetting his name.
On such a simple play.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit tricky because it was a bouncer back to him, like that never really bounced. It was a skid. It skidded along the turf and then bounced off him. But all he had to do was take a couple steps forward, pick up the ball and throw to first. It was bases loaded and two outs in extra innings. And he freaked out and threw it home and he threw it wild. Like practically into the crowd, and the series was over. You could see Real Muto pointing, throw to first, throw to first. It's what we all dread, right? Literally, it's like you go into these games thinking, dear God, please just don't have it come down to me and have have me be the guy who screws up forever. You know what I mean?
I would feel more bad for a team that isn't in that spot every year, but I mean, Philly is almost always in that exact position where, like, yeah. they're playing in the NLDS, they're playing in the NLCS, they got to the World Series a couple of years ago. Like, that was my fear more than anything through the 13-15 run that the Pirates had, more than, they're going to run into a buzzsaw pitcher two out of the three times in the wild card game. My worry was that the Pirates could be, hypothetically, of course, it could be Game 7 of the World Series.
Right.
They could have the game in the bag, and then they would blow the lead in the bottom of the ninth inning, and it would be on a play like that where they lost it all.
I know. I don't care about the Phillies so much as this guy. It's just now he goes down in Philly sports lore, as he would in any city. with what the Washington.
It's like a Buckner play. I mean, it wasn't the World Series, but it's like that.
It's their Buckner. It's what the Washington Post called an unthinkable error ends the Dodgers-Phillies heavyweight bout. An unthinkable error. Oh, my God. I don't even know how you say his name. Is it Kirkering? Is that how you say it, Limits? Were you watching that game?
I was. Entirely stunned by what I saw. It wasn't Will Craig level, but in the moment, like, you know, growing up and playing sports and stuff like that, sometimes you have those type of brain farts.
Yeah.
It happens.
Could you imagine if the Will Craig play happened in a playoff game? Oh, in a do or die playoff game?
I think the Will Craig play.
How much worse it would be.
I think it's the worst play in baseball history, but it didn't matter because it was in the, on a Thursday afternoon at PNC Park with five people in the audience, right? I think it's the worst play in baseball history, Donnie. It wasn't a physical error. It was, in the end. It was everything. It was everything combined on one play. That's never happened before and will never happen again. Nobody will ever run back toward home to get a guy in a rundown.
But just take that play and put it in a do-or-die playoff situation.
Do you have the Joe Block company? There we go. Let's have the music, Limits. It's time for a numbers game. Donnie, it's intergalactically listened to here. People on Uranus are listening to this right now. Are there people on other planets, Donnie? Do you believe in that?
Probably. Mars, maybe.
Do they look like us?
No, I think they're all aliens.
Yeah?
But maybe aliens are just
the stereotypical alien? Are they little, like, green things with antennas? Or how do you picture life on other planets?
So that's what was always weird to me. If people didn't think aliens were out there, why does everybody have the same depiction of how they look?
That's a good question. That's a brain twister, isn't it, Limits?
I mean, we got to think of something, right? We'll just come up with the oddest thing that comes to mind for an alien.
So maybe it just all became like a copycat thing. Like, all right, one guy like created this image of the alien and we all run with it.
I think so. It's a copycat league out there. Star Trek, they ran into some interesting people, didn't they? Are you a Star Trek guy, Donnie?
No, I never watched it.
You a Star Wars guy?
Not really.
Rocky guy?
Rocky, like Rocky Balboa?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All of them you've seen?
Yes.
Harry Potter?
Nah.
You're first with the numbers.
Joe, I actually have one here that's not Steelers related, but I did want to point it out to you.
Yeah.
I saw this. I think it was from, pardon my take, some of the Barstool Sports guys. Are you aware that the 2025 Ravens have already allowed more points than the 2000 Ravens?
I saw that. Yes. That is amazing.
They've allowed, I think, 177. The 2000 Ravens allowed 165.
You might have won the numbers game on the very first number. I got a number for you, Donnie. 8. Now, the Steelers have mostly dominated their series against the Browns. It's 82-64-1 in the Steelers' favor. But did you know that Cleveland, when all of this began all those years ago, won the first 8 games?
How about the streak since then? Since 1994. The Steelers have won 44 of the next 54 games in the series, Joe.
I got a number for you, Donnie. In fact, I have 3, 18, 24, and 14. Mike Tomlin is 18-0 at home against the Browns, 24-6 against rookie quarterbacks, and 14-4 coming off bye weeks. They're not going to lose. Plus, they're rested after a bye week, and these guys just flew across the ocean.
I'll give you the full record that Mike Tomlin has against Cleveland.
Please.
27-8-1.
I'll give you a better number than that. 6. The Cleveland Browns have only led, and by the way, as with every week, a lot of help here from Matt Williamson on Steelers.com with his cheat sheet. A lot of help. I'm stealing them blatantly, but I'm also mixing in other things.
We got to give him like a boxer's nickname, like Matt the Machine Williamson.
I thought you said a box of candy or something for all he's done for us.
He is a machine. Too.
Greetings and welcome to the machine. 6% of Cleveland's offensive plays have come with the Browns leading on the scoreboard this season. 6%, Donnie.
7. The Steelers have a turnover ratio of +7. Only one team in football with a better number there.
0. The Steelers and the Commanders are the only two teams that have allowed 0 points off turnovers this season.
16. The Browns are blitzing on just 16% of early down drop back passes. That is the lowest percentage in football.
That's interesting because the Steelers are blitzing more than ever, and I have something that kind of feeds into all this. 58th and 1st are my two numbers. KT Leviston, he is a backup offensive tackle who's going to play this week for the Browns, and he ranks 58th out of 64 tackles in pass block rate, okay? He's going to see plenty of Highsmith, but also plenty of Nick Herbig, and that's where the first number comes in. Nick Herbig, with a 39% pass rush win rate, leads all players in the NFL. I don't like that matchup for little Dylan Gabriel. I don't like that one at all, Donnie.
He's challenging Myles Garrett for the all-time pass rush win rate record.
I think he might be.
Here's one that I think could be vital, and we've already kind of hinted at what the scores of the game could be, Joe. 20. In games in which the Steelers score 20-plus points since 2023, they are 17-1, which is the best in the NFL.
That's amazing.
On the other side of that, when they fail to do so, they are just 6-14.
Wow. I mean, that's a magic number for them and speaks to the way Mike Tomlin wants to play, the good and bad of it. 10 is my number. It relates to 41. I think everybody knows that now, that Dylan Gabriel is the 41st starting quarterback for the Browns since they came back to the league. But 10 is the more amazing number to me. Dylan Gabriel is also their 10th different starting quarterback since Baker Mayfield. He just left 5 minutes ago. Their 10th starter since then, Donnie.
Man, there's the amount of names that you just run through. I mean, they've had in the last 2 years. I mean, I guess it makes sense. He's the 10th guy. The last couple
it's
of
laughable.
Years, they've had like 8 to 10 dudes take snaps. 78.6. The Browns defense, they're good overall. They're very good against the run. However, they are dead last in red zone conversion rate. They allow a score on 78.6% of drives.
Wow. 2003 is my number. The Browns haven't won a regular season game here since the year 2003. Who was their quarterback, Limits? Wrong. Tim Couch. Who scored on a 75-yard interception off Tommy Maddox? Donnie? Wrong.
Ooh.
Dalen McCutcheon.
Man, oh, that was going to be my guess, Joe.
No, was it?
He's one of the only guys I remember from like that secondary.
I apologize.
They had two guys named Andre Davis.
Either
they had their full names on the back.
Either one of you who had two sacks for the Browns that day.
Ooh. Well, it looks like this won't be a quiz show question.
He was kind of a
Courtney Brown?
Yes, Donnie.
Did he really?
Wow. You're amazing, man.
The Next. Penn State or Limits?
Next.
Good job, Donnie.
What do you got?
13.
Yes.
That 13 personnel that the Steelers use, mostly that jumbo package look, the one running back, three tight end look.
Yeah.
The Steelers using that at a rate of 11.2%. The league average there is just over 4%.
In a related matter, my number is 40. In games in which Mount Washington has logged 40 or more snaps, the Steelers are 6-0 and average 125 yards rushing a game, Donnie.
8. Is my number here. Since Ben Roethlisberger's retirement, there are only two other quarterbacks besides Aaron Rodgers that have more than 8 touchdown passes in a season for the Steelers. Russell Wilson last year with 16, Kenny Pickett a few years back with 13. And
wow.
I think it's fair to say that Rodgers is well on pace to pass both of them.
3.0. The Browns allow just that. 3 yards per rush attempt and are giving up just 76 yards rushing per game.
Here's another number that pertains to Darnell Washington in that big jumbo package, 40. When Darnell Washington logs 40 or more snaps in a game, the Steelers are 6-0.
I just read this one, Donnie. That's the first repeat of all time in the numbers game. There, throw the flag limit.
It's that good.
Throw the flag limit.
That was a good beep sound.
False start.
I'm
Donnie football.
It's so amazing, Donnie. It did need to be repeated twice. You're right.
I'm also surprised I haven't done that before.
you did what I did. You checked out for a minute there and came back with something. That is amazing.
I'm surprised it's the first time that's happened.
I know.
And how many of these we've done.
Especially since we're both borrowing from the same website very liberally. 7. T.J. Watt is now one of 7 players, and the other 6 are in the Hall of Fame, with at least 100 career sacks and 8 interceptions. Wow! How many sacks does Watt have in 14 career games against the Browns? Limits?
Wrong. 8.
Donnie?
I have it right in front of me. It's 17.
17
wow,
sacks in
many.
14 games against the Browns. His first game ever was in Cleveland, and he was unbelievable. It was like, oh my God, this guy's going to be a star. And the Cowboys selected Taco Charlton right ahead of him.
A future Steeler, Taco Charlton.
Was.
He had a cup of coffee here.
Give us the last one, Donnie.
All right, now I don't know, have you gone to the Browns tight end usage here?
No, I have not.
Because they had the use of Fannin and Njoku last week. Those guys played 67 and 56 snaps, respectively. They also had a target share of nearly 40%
wow.
from Dillon Gabriel. And the Steelers sometimes struggle against those tight ends.
Could be a key to the game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.